Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to come together and worship the Lord together. It just is wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Today I'm just going to be talking to us about God's presence within us, His Spirit, the grace of God. The title is A Steady Current of Divine Power. And we're going to start in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. But first of all, Lord, I just thank you that you will bring this word alive in our spirits, that it will burst within us and just become a part of our lives, Father. We just thank you for your word that's fresh and living and new. Amen. We're reading Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." We're going to read the same passage in the Message version now. And it just comes down more where we live. And it says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." How many want to live freely and lightly? Amen? Jesus is our friend. He's our Savior, but He's our friend. He's our friend that sticks closer than a brother. He wants to continually hang out with us, and he's always with us, but we need to acknowledge that and be aware of that. And friends visit. So we need to talk to the Lord about everyday things, all parts of our life. We need to just be talking to the Lord, but talking and visiting is always two ways. You know, if you try to visit with somebody and you never get a word in edgewise, you kind of feel like, they don't care what I have to say, you know. God wants us to also listen, and he'll speak to you. James 2:23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." And we're Abraham's children. Abraham is our father in the faith, and we're Abraham's children, and we are friends of God. It's important to enjoy God's presence and his friendship. Think about it. Let it be alive in your heart. Make a decision to purposely be aware of God with you all the time, when you're driving, when you're at home, when you're in church, when you're going anywhere. Be aware that God is with you. He's right there. Psalms, we're going to read Psalm 16:11. It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there's pleasures. God wants us to be happy, and he wants us to enjoy life. Jesus only had 3.5 years of his ministry on earth, and yet he took time to go to celebrations, to party. He went fishing. He went to the mountains. But not on a Sunday morning. No, I'm just teasing. But He didn't have that long in his ministry, but he took time to enjoy the blessings of the Lord and the pleasures that God gives us. Hallelujah. God is a happy God. We need to laugh. We need to have a good sense of humor. And I loved Paul's testimony when he testified to us that day. He had had a bad accident. They figured he was brain dead. Is that right? And he had been like in a coma for 2 months, and they were getting ready to pull the plugs. And anyway, right before the doctor came in, he saw in his spirit, and Jesus just shook him and said, "Wake up, wake up." And he said he saw Jesus, and he was just laughing, and he was happy, and he was watching his children, and he was taking pleasure in them, the way a parent takes pleasure in their children. You know, you can have a toddler toddling around, and you know, you laugh with them. You know, you take pleasure in whatever stage they're in. You take pleasure in your children. Well, God loves us. And he's a happy God, and he's a good God. And so we need to be happy children, amen? And it's always, when we make a mistake or somebody else makes a mistake, laugh about it. Don't get mad. You know, just let your emotions go to the joy side. And it's important also to take time to enjoy God in nature. Psalms 119:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." You know, when you guys look out at your mountain off your front porch, how does it make you feel? You know, you enjoy seeing your mountain. You can claim it now. It's yours. It's my mountain. And you take joy in it. You know, God made so many beautiful things, and we need to enjoy what he made. We need to take time to enjoy it. And just, you know, he made a beautiful world for our pleasure. Hallelujah. Amen. It's always, we need to always keep our focus on the beautiful, not on the ugly. Whether we're looking at nature or people or whatever we're looking at, keep our focus on the beautiful. We're going to go back to talking about grace, God's grace right now. In the Strong's Concordance, the word for grace in Greek is charis, which is where the word charisma and charismatic come from. And the primary definition, I got all my Strongs out and did a big study on it again, but the primary definition of grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life. And grace is actually the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Hallelujah. And most people say, well, this is undeserved, you know, undeserved grace is the undeserved favor of God. Well, you know, it is undeserved, but he wanted to be a part of our lives is why he came. And so he sent his presence to be with us. When we're born again, we say, "Jesus, I embrace your divine influence in my life. I've received you. I want you. I want you to influence what I do every day." One Greek scholar defined grace as a steady current of divine power. And it's, if we're born again, it's there. We have it. We have that steady current of divine power within us. And we just have to be aware of it and tap into it every day, all day. Hallelujah. Can we walk away from grace or the divine influence of grace? We're going to read a couple of scriptures. First, we're going to read Galatians 5:4. And it says, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." If we try to please God by our own efforts, it will steal our life and steal our joy. We will become more religious, not more spiritual. In Jesus' ministry, he not only engaged in he not only taught truth, but he attacked error. And he was always in a war against a belief system that was held by the Pharisees. You know, he was always, the only angry words he ever says was to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders. And in Mark 8:15, Jesus said, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And what was that belief system that brought the angriest words of Jesus? The Pharisees called people to come to acceptance to God through their own good works. It was a message of acceptance by performance. And it's in this message that's the heart of all religion. And it's what leaves people exhausted in their efforts to perform acceptably for God. Religion is binding oneself to keeping of rules that govern conduct, rituals, and formulas by which to approach God. The enemy of a believer is to have a slave mentality that constantly struggles to win God's favor. And we already have God's favor and blessing. We don't have to struggle to try to earn it by our own good works. What we need to do is be in fellowship and dependent upon the Holy Spirit within us. If we're born again, we have that Holy Spirit within us, and we become dependent on Him. It's not in our efforts, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and this by this many become defiled." And so bitterness, you know, unforgiveness, hate, those things can separate us from God's grace within us. It is possible to fall from grace. Self-righteousness, where we're working to please God and think we're so cool because we're doing all the right stuff, or self-indulgence in sin can separate us from grace, God's divine influence in our life. But the good thing about all of that is God is a merciful God. He's our Father. He's our friend. He wants our fellowship. And if we get out of God's grace, all we have to do is just say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm coming home. You know, I want your presence in my life. I want you to flow through me." And it's that easy. He longs for our fellowship. He desires our friendship and our fellowship. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ." In Matthew 3:11, here it's John the Baptist talking about Jesus, and he said, "I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. John 14:16, it says, "And I will ask the Father," this is Jesus praying, "and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby, that he may remain with you forever." And then we're going on to John 15:4-5, and Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So when we live in fellowship with Jesus, The fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are a natural flow. It's nothing that we have to try to work up or make happen. It's just a natural flow that happens when we're connected to Jesus and connected to His Spirit. It's a natural happening. You know, we don't struggle with it. It just happens when we're in fellowship with the Lord. There's a grace in giving. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace a steady current of His divine power abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." This verse follows a lot of other verses about giving. When Jesus is the Lord of our finances, we're in a position to receive His grace to abound. If the Lord can get money through you, He can get money to you. If God can get money through you, He can get money to you. And I know I feel that way in my spirit. I want to be a conduit of the blessing to the Lord to other people that are in need. That's part of my calling, is to be a conduit, that the blessings of God can flow through. And in us being generous with our blessings that throw through us, it's just like it just can keeps coming in, wave after wave after wave. Hallelujah, when we have that attitude. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read 4 through 9. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The blessings God gives us is His gift. It's just a gift to us. Hallelujah. And we receive that grace to be saved through faith. Not only do we receive salvation by grace, but grace is meant to be a way of life in God's kingdom. And we receive the grace through faith. So we're going to be looking at faith. Faith is a gift of the Spirit. It's not something that we try to have or struggle to obtain in the flesh. Faith comes by connecting with Jesus through His word and through His presence. You know, have you ever seen anyone, you know, they scrunch up their face and says, "I'm trying so hard to believe." Well, that's not coming from their spirit. That's coming from their emotions. And we don't get faith from our emotion. It comes from our spirit, man. Hallelujah. Amen. We find the definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1, and it's this: faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance. Faith is the substance of the benefits of God's kingdom. Faith is like a mirror that reflects the realities of the unseen world. Through the prayer of faith, we are able to pull the reality of God's world into this one. That's the function of faith. Faith has its anchor in the unseen realm. Faith lives from the invisible toward the visible. Faith provides eyes for our heart, eyes for our spirit. It's how we see. How our spirit sees through faith. To encourage us in our capacity to see from our heart, Jesus gave us some specific instruction. Matthew 6:33, He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on things above and not on things beneath." So we have to put our focus on the Lord, on things above. And then we're going to read 2 Corinthians 4:18. And it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We grow in faith, seen from our spirit, when we worship. John 4:23 says, but the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Those who worship in the spirit and truth learn to follow the Holy Spirit's lead. You learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow his lead. Psalms 22:3 tells us that, talking about God, you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Wherever people are worshiping God, that's where God's enthroned. That's where he's sitting on the throne and ruling in the midst of the people that worship him. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're tempted to live our lives by our own efforts instead of being connected to the flow of the Spirit and letting him live through us by his Spirit. We're going to read Galatians 3:2, and then we'll drop down to verse 5. It says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? We received it by faith. And in verse 5, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the words of the law or the hearing of faith? It's by faith that we receive. Hallelujah. Faith isn't something we work up on our own. It's tapping into God's faith, because faith is really in the spirit realm. And when we are living from our spirit, we tap into that faith, because faith is a fruit and a gift of the Spirit. It's in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. It's something that happens in the spirit, and it affects the natural life we live. The invisible realm is superior to the natural realm, because the invisible is superior to the natural. Faith is anchored in the unseen. Faith lives within the revealed will of God. And for example, if you think it's God's will for you to be sick, you won't have faith to be well. But when you learn God's word on how he provided for our healing, he received stripes for our healing. He paid the price. Even though we were unworthy, he paid the price for us for our healing. So when we know what God's word says about it, we will have the faith to reach out and receive what he has already done for us. Hallelujah. God is a good God. He only wants the best for us. You know, he's a good God all the time. Hallelujah. Unbelief is anchored in what is visible or reasonable apart from God. It honors the natural realm as superior to the spiritual realm or invisible realm. People who believe the material world rules over the spiritual world call themselves realists. They are trained to believe only what they see. Real faith is not living in denial of the natural realm. For example, if the doctor told someone they had a tumor, it would be silly to say, oh, no, I don't, you know. But there's a higher there's a higher truth that Jesus already paid for our healing. And the truth that our healing has already been paid for is greater than what we are seeing in the natural. There's a superior truth. Amen. Don't let what the devil's doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of God's presence in your life. Now, I may be going through this in the natural right now, but the truth is, you know, I am already healed. Jesus already paid for my healing, and I am already healed. And so, you know, we don't deny the natural, but there's a superior truth that's above what we are seeing in the natural. But the devil throws all these things that we can feel and that we can see at us to try to distract us. And we can't let what the devil's doing distract us from what God's doing, because God is greater and he has the ultimate word, and God is God. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith is the product of the kingdom of heaven. It's a superior reality. There are no tumors in heaven, and faith brings that reality into this one. Faith is born of the Spirit in the hearts of man. Faith is neither intellectual or anti-intellectual. It's superior to the intelligence. It's spirit. Faith is spirit. It's superior. Faith is a gift to the Spirit. It's in the spirit realm. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation." So through faith, man is able to come into agreement with the mind of God. The Holy Spirit lives in my spirit. That's the place of my communion with God. As we learn to receive from our spirits, we learn how to be spirit-led. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the children of God, the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." We're going to read Hebrews 11:3. It says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Remember the creation. And God said, and there it was. And God said, and there it was. So things that are right now were made of things that were not visible at the time. 2 Corinthians 3:6 tells us that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Some of you have heard me tell this, but I'm going to tell it again. It's so real. But there was a little boy. His name was Malcolm Smith, and he wrote a book I read one time. But when he was little, his parents took him to the ocean, and he'd never been to the ocean, never saw it. And where they went, it was where there was real strong tides and strong waves. And he would stand there and watch those waves come in, and he was just amazed by the power of the ocean, the power of the water. It was so powerful. And so he got his little sand bucket, and he went out in the ocean, and he got some of that water, and he carried it to this hotel room. That powerful water, he got some, and he took it to his room, and he sat there, and he watched it all day, and it didn't do anything. It just sat there. When we remove our key to receiving is being in him. When we remove the written word from the spirit of the word, it loses its power. And our key to being people of power is to be in him, in where it's happening. Romans 10:17 says, "So that faith comes, it's activated by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It doesn't say faith comes by having heard the word of God. It's the listening heart in the present tense that's ready for heaven's deposit of faith. Hearing now is the key to faith. Having ears to hear right now, that's the key to faith. And that means staying in connection with the Lord. Years ago, and Most of you have heard me tell this, but it's such a good analogy. But years ago, we went to San Carlos, and Calvin and I went to go take a walk on the beach, and the wind was blowing in our face, the waves were coming in, and we held hands, and we started walking, and we started trying to visit with each other, and we kept hollering at each other. Calvin says, "Let's don't talk. We can't hear each other anyway." And so we walked a long ways down the beach, and then we turned around and started back. And this time we were walking with the wind. And all of a sudden we could hear a whisper where we couldn't hear each other yelling. When we went with the wind, we could hear a whisper. And right at that moment, the Spirit of the Lord rose up in me, and he says, "When you're walking with me, you can hear my voice. But when you're walking against me, you can't hear anything, and everything's a blur. You can't understand anything." And the Bible compares the Spirit to the winds. And so we need to be flowing with the Spirit, and then we can hear his voice. Amen. A command used 62 times in the Bible is "fear not," because fear attacks the foundation of our relationship with God, our faith. Fear and faith cannot coexist. They're not compatible. They work against each other. 1 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if we have fear, where did it come from? The enemy. And Satan has no power except through our agreement. Fear becomes our heart's response when we come into agreement with Satan's intimidating suggestions. Response to truth always wins out over reaction to evil. Response to truth always wins out over reaction to evil or error. Don't live as a reaction to darkness, rather live in response to light. You're going to go towards whatever you're looking at. And if the darkness has you all confused and has your attention, and that's, you know, it's easy to do these days with the news and all of that comes on. It's like all we see is darkness. But we have to keep our attention on the light. We have to keep our focus on the light, because whatever we're putting our attention on, that's what's going to draw us into itself. We're going to follow where our eyes are looking. Hallelujah. A surrendered heart is a heart of faith, and faith must be present to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him," or God. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Hallelujah. Romans 12:3 tells us that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. God has given a measure of faith to every man. No one could even be born again without it. It's by faith we're saved, and God's already planted that in our heart. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." The born-again experience enables us to see from our heart, see from our spirit. Faith was never intended only to get us into the family, but it's supposed to be a part of our daily lives, looking at the Lord, living in faith every day. Hallelujah. Faith sees. Faith brings God's kingdom into focus. All of the Father's resources, all of his benefits are accessible through faith. Heaven is moved by faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. There's a heavenly bank account that has all of the benefits and the blessings of heaven. There's a heavenly bank account that has it all. And our faith is like our debit card. When we put it in, we can draw out of that account. It's and you also have to have a PIN, and it says faith works by love. So, you know, if your debit's not working, if your faith isn't working, you know, check your love life. But it says that we can go and we can use our faith in that ATM machine, in that heavenly ATM machine, our point of contact to heaven, to draw out what we need and the promises of God for us. Hallelujah. Faith is the meeting ground between our limitless self and our Faith is the meeting ground between our limited self and our limitless God. I'm tongue-tied there. But we're limited, but God is limitless. And faith is the connection between those. A point of contact is given to us as a means of helping us release our faith. Something tangible, something you do, and when you do it, you release your faith toward God. We're going to be looking at some examples. But James 2:17 says, thus also faith by itself, is it, if it does not have works, and one of those definitions, it's a corresponding action. Faith needs a corresponding action or its stead. And obedience to what God tells us to do is our corresponding action. And we're going to look at some scripture examples of this. We're looking at Luke 5:4-6. And this is Jesus speaking. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. I mean, Simon had to be thinking, we've already fished here all night, you know. But he said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Peter's obedience to what God said was his corresponding action that got him the miracle that he needed. So it's important to listen to the Lord and be obedient as he speaks. We're going to look at another example in Matthew 9:20-22. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. She had said in herself, when I touch Jesus, I'll be healed. And so her touching Jesus was her point of contact or her corresponding action to receive the miracle that she needed. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Here, confessing is your point of contact, or it's your corresponding action that brings the miracle of salvation into your heart. While we all have a measure of faith, faith can be increased. We're going to read Jude 1:20. It says, but you, brethren, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And so when we spend time praying in the Spirit, we're building up our faith muscles. You know, we're just building faith when we pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Acts 19:12, it says, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body, speaking of Peter, to the sick. And the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. The handkerchiefs were their point of contact where they released their faith. It wasn't the handkerchiefs that healed them, but it was their point of contact where their faith was released to receive the healing that they needed. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Faith is our protection. Faith keeps the enemy's arrows from hitting us. And in the old battles where they used shields, where they used to fight with shields, their shield always had the name of the army or the king that they were fighting on that shield. Well, guess what our shield says? King of kings and Lord of lords. And what we're saying to the enemy, you have to go through God to get to me. You can't get to me. You have to go through God, the all-powerful one, to get to me. So faith is something that we need, and it's our shield to protect us from all the fiery darts of the enemy. You know, somebody can throw a spear at you, but if you have your shield, it's going to protect you. It may shake you when it hits the shield, and you may feel the vibrations of it, but you'll be kept safe. And sometimes, you know, we can see the enemy coming at us and we can feel the shaking, but it shouldn't hinder our faith because we have it there between the enemy and us. Hallelujah. And he's all powerful. Hallelujah. And something I was just wanting to say in this message, we need to be relaxed and real with God, and we need to visit with him as our best friend. We need to have joy. We need to look at the fun and good things, not the evil. Refocus ourselves on things that are pleasant and good and right. Think on good things. Put our attention on the Lord, and that our faith, you know, will grow as we spend time in fellowship with the Lord. And you know, God wants us to be a happy people and a joyous people. And, you know, we all have challenges in our life. You know, there's challenges that come to all of us. But we need to learn to take those things more lightly. Just like when something happens, it seems awful at the moment, just laugh. Say, ha, 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 ha. You can't get authority over me. You can't have, you know, you can't have any authority over me. I'm the Lord. And you're defeated, Satan. You're defeated. I am God's child. I'm his son. You know, live happy in the Lord. Be blessed. And take time to enjoy the beautiful things around you. Just take time to, you know, sometimes we get too tense, too uptight. We just need to relax. We need to enjoy the people around us. We need to enjoy the beauty around us and God's world. I'm going to read the scripture I started with in the message in Matthew 28:28-30. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Amen. Let's stand our feet, and could we have just a little bit of background music? I feel God wants to restore our joy. You know, you may have been going through some heavy things, and life may have seemed real hard, and I just feel God wants to return laughter to us, return joy to us. It's like the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's what keeps us going. It makes us strong. We're strong when we're enjoying the joy of the Lord. And as they begin to play, if you've just had heaviness on you, if things have been hard, if it's been hard to smile, if you just need lifted up, I would just like you to come. I just feel God wants to restore our joy and our connection with Him today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, for your power. Father, your people are supposed to be the happiest people on earth, the most joyous people on earth, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for restoring our joy. Oh, Ramashin, la raya la nomoshiria oriande. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.